The following program is suitable for all ages.
The phone. A certain magic will always linger with the very name. It speaks of courage and fervor in the world's most brutal game. 55, worn by Doug Buffone, a Chicago Bear through and through. He demanded excellence of himself and anyone wearing navy blue.
You tell me what's going on. This is moronic. We're going to get our whipped all the way down the line. I want somebody to get kicked in the and get out there and play. You're getting paid to play this game. And play it right. I don't mind you getting beat. I got my whipped many times. But I tell you, I took somebody down with me. You are a professional team. Act like one, for God's sakes.
Football fans, this is Buffone 55, the John Buffone Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Buffone 55, a fast-paced approach at Chicago Bears football analysis. I am your host, John Buffone. It's great to be back in the barroom. Barflies, did you miss me? I know I missed you. This is our first show that we're going to be going with a new format. So before we get into that hectic, fast-paced 55-second question and Q&A kind of thing, we got a guest to get to every week, which kind of brings a new dynamic to this show, but it still brings all the same intensity. And our first guest of this year is Danny Shimon. And for the past 2 years, he's been providing scouting reports for BearsBarroom.com. And he's also worked at InsideTheLeague.com, where he's the scouting director. He's written a column for the National Football Post. This guy was a pupil of former Bears scouting director Greg Gabriel. And for the next 30 minutes, we are going to be his pupil. So, Danny, thank you so much for being on the show. How you doing tonight?
Wow, that is the best entry I've ever had in my life. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm pumped to be on here. Mama, we made it to the big show.
That's right. We are on the big show, or at least we're on the chaotic show, which is, you know, sometimes those words are interchangeable. Danny, before we get into our Q&A, it's going to be all about the Bears wide receiving core tonight. But before we get into that, let's play a clip from Matt Nagy's media conference after practice today. That coach was pretty happy with their work against the Broncos, and in particular, he was happy about the following.
Our precision with some of the routes that we had. Again, when you start seeing different coverages and different defenses, you get to see how our guys react to those specific routes. And they got better. They definitely got better. And the same with our defense, too. Our defense is always seeing the same plays from us in training camp, and I thought they reacted well. And so all we can do is just continue to keep growing with that.
Now, Danny, with that kind of rolls right into my first question. Matt Nagy announced this week that prized free agent Allen Robinson will be making his preseason debut. And while he wasn't really specific about how much playing time he would get or how much action that he was going to get, what would you like to see him get in this third of five preseason games? What is a realistic expectation, you know, from a performance level, given Robinson is less than a year away from that torn ACL? And by the way, that injury was suffered on the third play of the 2017 season in a freak non-contact play. What would you like to see out of Robinson going into this?
Well, I expect Robinson and actually the entire first team offense to play into the second quarter, probably the early portions of the second quarter. And in terms of performance, you know, are we talking about the game or are we talking about the season?
Talk about in this game, because I know Bears fans are really excited to see what Allen Robinson can do in a Bears jersey, and sometimes those expectations are way above what actually should be happening. So as you, as somebody kind of plugged into this, what would you like to see out of him?
Well, for me, what Robinson presents to the Bears is a top target outside of the numbers, a number one guy who's done it before, albeit for one big season. A guy who can go up there and catch the ball, away from his body as a big catch radius, become a big red zone threat for Mitchell Trubisky. So he will give the Bears something they haven't had in the last couple of years, a guy who can be looked at and will draw some of the better cornerbacks, defensive backs of the opposing defenses.
You know, we're going to see him in action for the first time in a preseason game. We shouldn't be expecting Robinson to go up and get 2 touchdowns, 6 catches in this game. What are you more looking forward to just to seeing him in his first couple minutes of action, I guess?
Obviously, coming off the injury that you mentioned earlier, I just want to see him, you know, run crisp routes, show the ability to get in and out of his breaks. I do not want to see him favor the leg. I just want to see him play free, don't worry about the injury, and see what kind of rapport he's got with Trubisky. You know, they've been working together since he signed. So, you know, the fact that, you know, he's going to be the number one target most likely this season. I just want to see how him and Trubisky, you know, interact in terms of, you know, do we see any sort of head bobs or some sort of signs pre-snap where Trubisky, you know, signals out to Robinson that he's got the coverage that he likes, he's going to go to him. So we should see a lot of passes going Robinson's way this season. So I just want to see, you know, them get off to a good start. Now, getting two touchdowns and all that stuff, you know, obviously it's a preseason game. Mm-hmm. You know, how many balls go his way, you know, we don't know. But I just want to see him, mainly the main thing I want to see, just him run freely and not favor that leg or think about that injury.
For sure. And I know Bears fans are going to be holding their breath every time they see him make a cut or do anything like that. Let's kind of switch gears over to a guy, you know, a little younger than Robinson, but garnering just as much hype. We're talking about Anthony Miller. You were pretty high on this guy when you evaluated his tape, but Miller has seen a little action in the two preseason games that the Bears have played in. And we saw him kind of goofing up that wide receiver screen inside the 5-yard line. And this is a guy that obviously he's making Twitter videos all the time, people taking outstanding highlights from this guy. But wide receivers head coach Mike Furry is comparing him kind of to a jackrabbit. He doesn't always know where he's going, and he's not sure where he is half the time as far as Furry doesn't know where Miller is. And then he added, quote, "You've got to be patient, understand the concepts, understand the speed, understand what you're supposed to do, and understand why the big picture of why we're doing what we're doing." And he said, that's a struggle. And Danny, should those of us who have pronounced Anthony Miller, Canton bound, and they're already getting the bus ready to go, should we maybe pump the brakes on him? Don't forget, this is a guy that's still a rookie.
Yeah, as far as Canton bound, I would pump the brakes on that. But as far as the excitement he's garnered within the practices and you know, preseason, if you will, you know, in the OTAs and everything like that, I would not. I was a big proponent. I pounded the table in the pre-draft process for this kid. I loved Anthony Miller coming out of college, Memphis. So and what I liked about him was just his natural ability to be as a playmaker, right? He loves the game. You can see it. He plays with the passion. His ability with his natural hands to pluck the ball out of the air, to separate, from a cornerback at the top of his route, with both, quickness and speed, and again, just the passion he plays with. Today, it was reported that, he got into a fight in practice with a Broncos player, and you'll see this guy when he plays with a major chip on his shoulder, similar to his mentor Steve Smith, formerly of the Carolina Panthers and Baltimore Ravens. Now, the one thing I did say when Miller came out of college was he played in a spread system. His route running wasn't precise, so he does need to clean that up. He does need to work on that technique, in and out of his breaks, be able to run a full route tree, NFL route tree. So he has some maturing to do and aspects of his game to that part. But so I think that's where the coaches were coming from in terms of, there's times where he's maybe a little confused in terms of the play call. I remember he never ran an NFL style system before. So it's developing that rapport, keep working on his game, honing his skills, and mainly working on his route ability, route running ability. And once he gets that, I expected to see a much better Anthony Miller, a more productive Anthony Miller towards the second half of the season than I would probably in the beginning of the season, just lowering my expectations. But in terms of, what I see in this kid, I see a future star.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of people are sharing that same sentiment now. Another young wide receiver really getting some attention. People are getting really excited about that. That'd be Javon Wims, another receiver you were pretty high on and had an excellent Hall of Fame game. According to wide receivers coach Mike Furry, though, Wims was struggling in camp prior to the game. Let's take a listen to what he had to say about that.
I thought he struggled for a couple weeks prior to going up into the game against Baltimore. He's trying to learn how to play at this level, but I think the game has helped him, gave him some confidence to get back into learning how to play low. He played really high because obviously in college he kind of was able to dominate the smaller guys with his size and could open up his chest and just big body people, and here you can't. And I think he's learning how to play the game as a wideout, not just a guy that just takes off and gets back shoulder balls and go balls. It's slant routes, end routes, 20-yard end routes. It's all the little things that come with an NFL offense, and that was a huge transition for him, and obviously we're excited with what he did in the game, and obviously now he'll continue to improve.
In two preseason games, he's caught 9 passes for 95 yards. What are you seeing in Wims, and what are your expectations moving forward for this guy?
Honestly, what I'm seeing so far, and it's been 2 games, but what I'm seeing is the same thing I saw at Georgia. I see a big body receiver who excels at making contested catches, does a nice job of reeling in those 50-50 jump balls and, you know, and back shoulder throws, right? We saw that in the Hall of Fame game. He possesses very strong hands, terrific body control. He's able to go up and contour his body and adjust to, poorly thrown balls. So, that's what I'm seeing so far from Williams. Now, the production in that second game was a little bit of a head scratcher because, we didn't really see him get much, action past, I believe, the first or second quarter. So I don't know if that quad had started bothering him then, if that happened during practice strictly, but I definitely see Williams as a guy who's going to make this team. And, the one thing we're going to have to just kind of keep in mind with Williams, this guy was a basketball star coming out of high school. So he has limited experience in playing football. He played 2 years at a JUCO college, was one of the top rated JUCO kids coming out and went to Georgia and played only 2 seasons at Georgia. And his first season, he got hurt, didn't play much there. So he really had one full season in the SEC playing for Georgia. So he's still developing as a route runner. He's still developing as a receiver. Is another kid that's going to get better towards the tail end of the season. Just like Miller, I think by the end of the season, you're going to see Williams and Miller both producing big time on the field for the Bears.
All right, so it's your anticipation that Williams is going to be on this team now, and we're getting a lot of there's excitement about Williams, there's excitement about Allen Robinson, the big free agent sign, there's a lot of excitement about Anthony Miller and all what he's doing in camp like that. Now let's not forget that they went out and they signed Taylor Gabriel. He's a 4-year NFL veteran, and his last 2 seasons with the Falcons, he's had 68 receptions for 957 yards and 7 touchdowns. Based on what you've seen of Gabriel with the Falcons, can you kind of describe his skill set and what you think he's going to contribute to this passing game? And is it fair to kind of compare him to give him that Albert Wilson role in Kansas City? Because that's kind of who Nagy was coaching in the Kansas City system. And I think this is a guy that is fast as hell, and he's not getting as much as the preseason hype as some of the other guys.
I mean, you said it. He's fast as hell. I mean, his skill set is his speed and his quickness. Right? He's going to give the Bears a playmaker in the slot, due to that speed. That can leverage defensive backs and win quick hitting plays. So what plays like smoke screens, bubble screens, flat routes, curls, hitches, he has the ability to get off and get the ball, Trubisky can get the ball in his hands quickly and just allow him to make plays, and he also has that straight line speed, like we keep referring to, that can take a top off of defense. So he's definitely going to draw some coverage, he's going to get attention from the safeties, that'll stop safeties from coming up into the box. And eventually will help, Jordan Howard in the Bears run game. So he adds an element of speed and quickness from the slot that I feel is something that's been needed and missing for a long time. Now, we also will see him run some of those jet sweep screens or jet sweep run plays where, for example, last week where Nagy called that play and actually at the goal line. So we'll see a lot of those kinds of plays where, Gabriel and both Terry Cohen will be involved in as well. Comparing him to Albert Wilson, I mean, if you take a look at their careers, they compare very favorably in terms of, the production they've had in their 4 seasons. But I like Gabriel because I think he's a better athlete with more speed. And he's a guy that has big play potential, where I see Wilson more just strictly a slot guy who can get you, a catch here and there. But I don't think he has the big, take a top off of defense kind of speed that Taylor Gabriel possesses.
And it's going to be fun to watch him run. If he gets into open space, he is electric, and he can make a play just like anybody else on this defense. He says he's faster than Tariq Cohen. He might be, and that is scary for opposing defenses. Let's talk about a guy that I'm not so high on. And of course, we're talking about Kevin White. It seems like the biggest obstacle that he has to overcome is what's going on between the ears. And by that, I mean some of his confidence, perhaps something that's going on in his brain. A week ago, this is what Coach Furry said about how White is dealing with overcoming some self-doubt and being overly critical of himself. Let's take a listen.
You can be hard on yourself to where the point where it starts to decripple you, and you can't do that. You can't come out here and play with fear. You can't come out here and judge yourself. You got to come out here and play hard and just do what we ask you to do. Do it full speed. Be so entailed in the routes and exactly what you're supposed to do, and entailed in catching the football. You're not gonna worry about any of that stuff. We'll deal with that when we go off the field and get into film work. Mm-hmm. Right now, let's just go play ball and relax. And I think he's done that.
But when that's just part of his personality, I mean, just whether it's football or something else.
Yeah, I think that's just his competitiveness. nature, you know. And sometimes we can get too competitive where it becomes a distraction. And that's where we're trying to let that go and say, listen, you just come out here and do what we ask you to do and do full speed and catch the football and make plays. When we go in there and watch film, then we'll go back and we'll critique what we've done wrong or what we've done right. We'll build on the positive and correct the negative. And so I think he's starting to see that. I think he's starting to play faster. I think he's starting to catch the ball better. And we just got to continue to improve on that.
Now, Danny, Kevin White had a drop in the last preseason game. It doesn't look like he's where he needs to be from a confidence standpoint. Can you assess Kevin White for us? And is there any reason why Bears fans should hold out hope for this guy?
You know, unfortunately, to me, you know, White has never, ever, when he has played, he's never played or looked like the player that I saw back in West Virginia back in 2014. You know, he always looks timid and unsure of himself. Now, I don't know if that's just, you know, lack of confidence or it's just in his inability to pick up the offensive system, because he ran a limited route tree back at West Virginia, and, you know, he never ran a full all-nine route. So I don't know if it's just because of that, but I've always seen, and to add on top of it, all the injuries, it's just we never saw the best of Kevin White, and it's just one of those guys where at this point all the Bears can do is you know, just let him play and see what he can produce. You know, what I do like what the Bears did was, you know, what they're able to accomplish in both free agency and the draft was they, you know, getting the, you know, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and drafting Anthony Miller and Javon Williams, so on and so forth, was they allowed themselves to make White just an afterthought. So whatever they get from him, in my opinion, is just extra. At this point, you know, I can't see him not making the team because I don't see anybody behind him that can beat him out. So, you know, in terms of Bears fans, all we can do is just, you know, root for the guy and just hope he stays healthy and produces. But, you know, at this point, he's a sunk cost, you know, and that's whatever the Bears can get out of him, it'll be extra.
I guess so, and that kind of leads me into my final question for you, Danny. We talked about five wide receivers so far, and are those five guys that we talked about? We're talking about Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel, Kevin White, Javon Wims. Are those the top five on this team's depth chart? If not, like you said, is there anybody waiting in the wings? Is there somebody kind of flying under the radar that might have an inside shot of you taking a spot here? And which of the other receivers in camp, at least, have to think might have a chance at a spot on this roster?
I mean, to be honest with you, those five are my top five. And if they go with six receivers, it's going to be between Josh Bellamy and Benny Fowler, depending on their special team play. And right now, I think Josh Bellamy has made this team so far. So I mean, no one really on the roster right now, you know, sticks out or it does anything for me. You know, like I said, Benny Fowler has some special teams ability. DeMarcus Ayers, you know, he's got some punt return ability, but nothing really special. Or, all right, we can, you know, jettison Josh Bellamy and you know, give a roster spot to DeMarcus Ayers. Now, unless there's a trade coming up or unless they keep more tight ends than I'm expecting, I expect, you know, the six receivers, you know, the top five you just named and probably Josh Bellamy to make this final cut.
Danny, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think I could be less impressed with somebody other than Josh Bellamy, and then until I saw some balls being thrown to Benny Fowler, and it was bad. So so if it comes down to, you know, there's a couple injuries, maybe, you know, if Robinson gets banged up or he needs to rest or Gabriel gets hurt or something like that, for the love of God, we gotta put up with that again. So right. It's just Josh Bellamy just has a different jersey on. So if you're pinched between who you want to throw a ball to, are you throwing it to Benny Fowler or are you throwing it to Josh Bellamy?
Josh Bellamy.
I'm tucking the ball and running, but you can throw the ball. Josh so, but
I don't know that was an option. I don't know that tucking the ball and running was an option.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I guess in that case, that's the only time you're gonna say I'm throwing the ball to Josh Bellamy. But hey, Danny, I want to thank you so much. Before we go, I want you to tell the folks how they can connect with you on social media, because you got some real good stuff out there, and people need to be checking it out. How they can connect you with you on social media.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you can find me at dshimon56. That's dshimon56.
All right. Hey, Danny, I appreciate all the breakdown. This was some great information on all the wide receivers. We hope to have you on again as the season progresses. And thanks for stopping by Buffon 55. Appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right, guys. That's the end of the interview process. Now we get back into the chaotic part of the show. It is time to go five questions for 55 seconds. And before I do that, I got to bring on my trusty producer, Aldo Gandia. Aldo, How are we doing?
We are doing great. It is so good to be back with you, John. The energy that you bring to the network, and I love this new format. We've got some great guests lined up throughout the season. We're booking some guests who are going to be experts on the team the Bears will be playing the following weekend, and so you'll be able to get some Q&A with some guys who really can give us some detailed information about the opponents. So that's going to be fun. And of course, we've got our regular format, the 5 questions in 55 seconds. Are you ready?
Oh man, I've been waiting for this. I hope I can contain myself within 55 seconds, but let's get it going.
Well, you've been known to blow past the whistle a few times. Let me ask you a question. When you were boxing, did you occasionally keep throwing punches after the bell rung?
You throw it until someone tells you to stop or someone pulls you off. That's kind of the rule. That's it. If you got a clear alley, you take it. You take every advantage you got and you keep going until you hear the echo of the bell or echo of the whistle or anything like that. Just keep going.
I love it. I love it. All right. Here is question number one. I want to get your take on the wide receiver group. What is your overall take on this group? Do you think it's a good group, but could be a great group? Just kind of characterize your feelings about this wide receiver group. And remember, John, you've got 55 seconds. The clock starts now.
Well, it's pretty simple. It's better. I'm not going to go and give you the same scientific research you heard from Danny. You can rewind it on the podcast version if you want to hear that. Here's my take. Allen Robinson is better than Kendall Wright. Taylor Gabriel is better than Josh Bellamy. Anthony Miller is better than Dontrell Inman. A bag of actual wheat is better than Marcus Wheaton. And let me go off on Kevin White for a second. Aldo, excuse me if I'm long-winded. I'm going to blow right by this bell. But if Kevin White were not a first-round pick, let's say he was a second-round pick, he would not be garnering so much forgiveness from Bears fans. If he were a second-round pick, he would be an afterthought 2 years ago by the fans. I don't think I'm saying anything profound here, but first-round receivers don't work out all that often. Let me throw you some names. Laquon Treadwell, Cordero Patterson, Justin Blackman, Michael Floyd, Buster Davis. You even know who that is? First of all, and then the odds aren't good for these guys to really pan out. And I'm supposed to be impressed because Kevin White is a physical freak? Anybody remember Vernon Golston from Ohio State? He looked like he was chiseled from marble and he couldn't play dead in a Western. So can he play? I'm talking about Kevin White. I say no, and maybe it's time for someone else to get a shot. No one was saying, let's give Chris Williams another shot. Remember the lineman from Vanderbilt that was supposed to jive with Jay Cutler? You know why they didn't give him a shot? Because he sucked. No one said, hey, let's see if how Gabe Carini plays out. You know why? Because he sucked. Was anyone saying, hey, let's pump the brakes on Shane McClellan. Let's see how he's going to do. No one said that. You know why? Everybody in unison now. Because he sucked. So let's just say, let's pump the breaks on Kevin White forgiveness. The guy can't play, and it might be time to put somebody else in there.
Holy cow. I think Bobby Phelan, who's in charge of our social media, just wrote in the chat room, John! Yeah! Heidi Zimmerman! Ha 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 ha! John! Brian Quinn! John is on fire! That was awesome. And I think we got a great clip there for promos.
I'm ready to go. I've been in the cage way too long. I've been unleashed.
And I had this picture of the referee stopping you from punching the guy.
There was rabbit punches all over the place, kidney shots. We're going all in.
That was good. All right. Let's stay with the wide receivers before I introduce some other topics here. Now, what would you like to personally see out of this wide receiver group in Saturday night's game versus the Broncos? You are on the clock.
Now, when you look at this, I'm not looking for stat production. I don't care about touchdowns. And I actually put a limited amount of stock in catches. I want to see timing. I want to see how the chemistry between Trubisky and their receiving core is progressing. I'm looking to see how the 3 to 5 yard slants look. Show me some breakoff or option routes where the quarterback and wide receiver have to be on the same page. If I see Trubisky throw the ball to a desert where no one is present besides the defense, that speaks as much to the wide receivers as it does to the quarterback. So I don't care about deep balls. Any professional quarterback can chuck it down the field to see if his playmakers can make something happen. I want to see if the ball is behind or in front of the guys going over the middle. And if Robinson is out there, I don't care about his speed. What I do care is about how he cuts and the route running. Is that knee keeping him from being crisp? Is he cutting corners while running routes? And I want to see if Anthony Miller actually is this loose cannon spinning his wheels at 100 miles per hour, then he needs to be reined in. Sure. Let's see if Kevin White's worth a damn. Let's see if Wims is actually going to be progressing. So those are the kind of things I want to see in preseason. When we're talking about regular regular season, we got a whole other thing to talk about.
Very cool. And you know what? No one's mentioned Tanner Gentry. What are your thoughts about Tanner? Do you think he's got a chance to make this squad? And from what you've seen and heard of his practice and the limited time that he saw in action last week, you think this guy has a future in the NFL?
Well, he was everybody's sweetheart last year. Everybody was calling for him to be called up to get in the game, and eventually he dressed and everything like that. I think it's hard because I think that, like Danny was saying, whoever's going to get that last spot, and maybe it's that sixth receiver spot, they're going to have to be a special team specialist. And right now, I think the two guys, Bellamy and Fowler, although, like I said, they can't catch a cold, they're probably a little more useful on special teams at this point. And now, do you want to bring on a sixth receiver who is a better, you know, ball catcher? Or the sixth receiver who's going to be a better asset to the special team. So I think it's probably going to be one of those two that Danny was talking about.
Okay, very interesting. Now, I've got some audio of Coach Matt Nagy talking about Roquan Smith, who clearly was the biggest topic of the week with his signing his contract at the beginning of the week. This is what Nagy said about Roquan's first practice, which was yesterday on Wednesday. After the Wednesday practice, he really didn't want to talk too much about Roquan because the coach spent most of his day with the offense and wanted to look at tape of the defense. He did, and this is what he was asked about Roquan's first day of practice. This is what he said.
The reps that he got, I thought there were some plays where he showed some flashes of some speed and cutting down angles and the instincts. I thought his instincts showed up. He still, again, didn't get a whole bunch of reps yesterday. He got enough, which is good. We didn't want him to get a lot of reps. But from what I saw on tape, I was happy with what I saw.
Is it hard for a player like that, any player coming in to be at, you know, full speed, literally be at full speed?
Probably. You're probably more like 90% than 100. You got the pads on and you're running around, and then again you're gonna look a little bit slower as well, just because you're getting into the mental side of it too.
What's the status for Saturday night?
Again, it's the same as all the other guys. We're gonna meet tonight, and then we'll finalize it tomorrow night with the guys.
Okay, I got a simple question for you, John. What is your take on the whole Roquan Smith contract squabble? Do you think there's anyone to blame? I'd love to get your thoughts on this, and you are on the clock.
I mean, I always find these things comical. When Joey Bosa was going through this with the Chargers fans were angry at Bosa, and some said, trade him off because we don't want him here. I mean, it's amazing to me that fans will take the side of the billionaires in this situation, because obviously I get it. They want to see their team play well. They want the best players out there. They get resentful when the best players aren't on there. I get that. But it sounds like the Bears are actually getting a man of principle, and I like that. This is the guy that held off his commitment in college and didn't sign his letter of intent until he actually enrolled at Georgia. He's protecting himself in today's NFL, where we are seeing guys get flagged for textbook tackles now. Why wouldn't you want to protect yourself in a new environment like that? So, if you are a repeat offender to this completely unpredictable rule, you could get suspended and you could lose a bunch of money. And maybe Smith just wants some language in the contract to maybe protect himself from that in a minimal sense. Am I glad this got settled? Obviously. I'm incredibly excited about how Roquan Smith is going to fit in with Chicago and how he's going to be there for years to come. And it's always hard for me to side with the billionaires trying to squeeze some money out of young players. I get the salary cap aspect, but man, I don't welcome this guy in as your next transcendental talent and then hedge your bets with him because he might get suspended by hitting somebody too hard.
Boy, I think I agree with every single word you said there. It is funny how so often you see the fan that's trying to put together $100 to buy a ticket. They're always siding right with the billionaire owners on this, and not the players who are out there putting their lives on the line. And we're not privy to the contract negotiations. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but there's enough messaging out there from the media that leads us to believe that the Bears were trying to get some language in there that perhaps was not in any other contract, and I would not be surprised if that was the case. But love your take on that, John.
Well, thank you. That's what I'm here for all day.
All right. Now, what is your take on a position group that perhaps worries you on this team? You know, whether it's the wide receivers that we just talked about, I doubt it's them, or the offensive line or the defensive line. Point out a position group that worries you and tell me why within 55 seconds and go.
I mean, although I am excited about it, I am a little concerned about the linebackers, mainly because of the depth and the injury list. Look at Trevathan, look at Floyd. Both have missed time. Kwiatkowski, solid player, not necessarily a starter, and has also missed some time. Roquan, let's hope that the NFL isn't overpowering right out of the gates, and he can stay healthy. And then after that, he got Timo at the inside as well, who has looked pretty poor in preseason, just from what I've seen. And then Aaron Lynch, who was signed, is already banged up, and I'm not sold on him, even if he is at 100%. So this linebacking unit is heavily dependent on everyone staying healthy. At its peak, you have Floyd, Trevathan, Smith, and, well, whoever's on the outside, whether it's Lynch, Acho, or maybe even Isaiah Irving at that point. But after that, well, you better hope your D-line is getting a good push, because if one or two of those guys are out, I'm not overly excited about who they have to put in there. So I'm only worried about the linebacking core because of the depth. I'm excited, but I'm also a little bit anxious.
I think that's the prevailing opinion about from most Bears fans, that outside pass rush is a concern. And Nagy was asked about Aaron Lynch. Is there any concern that he's been so slow to get back on the field with that hamstring injury? And Nagy said, I think this was a few practices ago, he said that he's not worried. So hopefully he's seen something good in his rehab and saw enough in the OTAs to feel some confidence in him. But I haven't, because I haven't seen him out there. So we'll see.
And hamstring injuries are the worst, because they tend to nag. I mean, every Bears fan remembers Alshon Jeffrey, how he was questionable every week with the soft tissue injuries. And especially when you're a bigger guy, those can be re-aggravated a little easier. So, I mean, what's Nagy going to say? Yeah, I'm really afraid. I'm scared. He might not make it. So I think he has to say that right now. So we'll see how it progresses towards the beginning of the season. I don't like it, though.
All right. Now, before we get to question number five, I've got kind of a little bonus track here. I'm throwing a curve at you because I don't think I alerted you to this. But
Great.
Nagy was asked today about the whole Cody Whitehair situation. Apparently, he has not had some good practices recently with snapping the ball. Benjamin Albright, who is a sports reporter out west and has been to the practices, he tweeted out that that Whitehair looked really bad snapping the ball. And the media asked him, I bring up Benjamin, by the way, because he's going to be a guest on Bears 100 Proof, a special Bears 100 Proof that we'll have out tomorrow. But Nagy was asked about the Whitehair situation, and this is what he said. And then after that, I'll turn off the clock and you can comment on the whole center position. Here is what Nagy said.
You want to make sure that he understands and that all the centers understand that, you know, you can't have that. The quarterback's back there. If you're in the shotgun, he needs to get that football coming to him, and it can't be, you know, 2 inches from the ground, and it can't be 3 feet above his head, because what that does is immediately takes him off his progression or off the handoff that he might give to the back. So you want those to be darn near perfect 98% of the time, if not 100. So, you know, yeah, there's some struggles right now, but we're going to, you know, stay positive with it. And let me tell you something. It's not just one guy. It's not just one guy.
Interesting take there. A lot of fans are wondering if James Daniels, who played the center brilliantly at Iowa and was drafted in the second round, whether he shouldn't be moved to center and Whitehair back to his more natural position at left guard. What's your take?
I mean, I don't think by telling the centers that they need to snap the ball well is going to really change anything. I think I'm pretty sure if you're a professional center, you know that you're supposed to snap the ball well. So that being said, I am a proponent of making a decision and sticking with it when it comes to the offensive line. The second you start playing musical chairs with an offensive line, and Bears fans have seen this with Kyle Long being out and then moving over to the other side and things like that, you have no shot to build any kind of cohesiveness on that line, where just because you got to plug this guy in this week, or because of injuries, or because you're not playing well enough. So yeah, go ahead. And if you right now that you're kind of at the, you know, you're at the tipping point, make a decision now. So if you want Daniels to play center, you better put him in now. If you want to move Whitehair over to guard, you better do it now, because it's not, if you start doing it in week three or week four or week five, you're throwing everybody off now, and you're throwing off a lot of, you're not learning anybody's tendencies to the guy beside you, and you're not being able to build that kind of mobile unit that you want to build in an offensive line. So if Whitehair can't correct this, it needs to be fixed or switched now. And if you feel like it can be fixed, then you stick with them and you let them work through it, because I think that you can't just keep making these snap decisions midway through the season, because it throws the whole line off.
Yeah, I wonder how much of this is, you know, the fact that he's had a couple of bad snaps and then all of a sudden it gets into his head, you know, like when I'm trying to make that 3-foot putt and I miss it, and then I can't hit a 2-inch putt the rest of the day because I missed a 3-footer. Yeah, the yips, I think they call it.
Oh, yeah. So absolutely. Yeah. You see it in baseball all the time where the catcher can't throw it back to the pitcher. He can streamline it to second base, but for some reason he can't get it back to the pitcher. So, yeah, it could be something in between the ears, because it seems like if you're a professional center, you should be able to snap the ball. So at that point, I don't think it's not really a physical thing. It's you're thinking about it too much. You're trying to do it perfectly, and you end up either airmailing it or throwing it into the dirt.
Very good. All right. Now, the fifth and final question. I am going to turn off the clock, take as much time as you want, and this is the question. Khalil Mack, he continues his contract holdout with the Raiders. Now, this edge rusher, he has 40 and a half career sacks in just 4 seasons, and he has not missed a game. He's rumored to be on the trading block, and a sports betting website has the Packers and the Bears as the most likely spots for Mack to land before the October 30th trade deadline. Now, do you think it's in Ryan Pace's DNA to maybe make a blockbuster trade for an established veteran like that? And if so, what would he give up to land Mack? It's all yours. Take it away.
let me give you a strong answer. I don't know. We've seen the Bears be mobile in the draft, which is one thing, but to liquidate a bunch of assets and then most likely need to give Khalil Mack a monster deal, albeit he's a great 27-year-old linebacker, and you know that's the whole other ball game, though. Yes, to a fan, the thought of Roquan, Floyd, Trevathan, and Mack all in the same linebacking core is exciting. Kind of makes me tingly right now thinking about it. But now you are riding with these guys, and it better work, because you're probably giving up 2 first rounders and maybe a guy off the depth chart, maybe a starter somewhere. So that depth that I was just talking about gets even worse. So I don't think to be honest, I don't think he's getting traded at all, because you rarely get fair value from these things. There's no guarantee that you hit on the draft picks that you get back from this guy. And then you got to wait for those draft picks to develop, and hopefully it works out, but rarely it does. So would I do it? I'm sure that's what you really want to hear. Would I do the 2 draft picks and a role player or a starter? Well, if you're sure that you don't need a quarterback right now, or you're running back right now, or if your wide receiving core is solid, okay, the secondary is sewed up, so you don't really need to draft anybody high for that. All right, the offensive line could use a tweak or two, but it's not a disaster. The defensive line could use another piece, but maybe it's fine. And so can you address those needs in free agency next year rather than the draft? Maybe. Well, you also have the cap space. So yeah, I do it, because I'm hoping that those first rounders that I'm sending back to Oakland, or at that point Las Vegas, I'm hoping that those draft picks are in the high 20s, or dare I say 30s. So yeah, so, and I think the last thing I want to see is Khalil Mack wearing green and yellow. So yeah, I think I would do it, because I think the Bears are in a position where they could maybe handle that. They have cap space. They don't have any really serious glaring needs where they would need a top pick to really, really address it at this point, and something that they could maybe address in free agency or in the later rounds of the draft in years to come. So that I think I would do it, but like I said, I don't see Mack actually getting traded. So actually, before we take you out of here, this episode of Buffon 55 will be on your podcast stream later tonight. Make sure you share it with your friends and give us a review on any of those delivery services that you get your podcast from. We're on all of them: iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, you name it. All you have to do is search for Bears Barroom Radio Network and we will pop up. And remember, here at the network, we offer a really diverse set of programming for any and all Bears. Tomorrow, we officially add to our catalog with the premiere of the Mike North Advantage. Mike is going to serve up his irreverent takes on the Chicago Bears and offer up some betting tips throughout the season. And don't forget to stop by the website, bearsbarroom.com. Wanda Weedman has a great story on the history of the Bears through the perspective of 2 senior citizens who began watching the team in the early 60s, the glory days. So remember, follow me on Twitter at JD Buffon. Before we go, remember, we are changing the time and the day of the show. Wednesdays are going to be where the new show is going to be stacked. Wednesday at 8:30 Central Time, 9:30 for you East Coasters. Guys, I am back. I am pissed. I am loud, and I am ready to run through a brick wall, barflies. I hope you're coming with me. Let's do it. We'll see you next week.